Mark has been presenting a series of lessons for us on basic beliefs of the Christian faith. And the lesson that was scheduled for today was focused on communion, our communion together, the Lord's Supper. However, Mark and his family are away this weekend to attend the wedding of his sister in Lubbock, I think. So I'm filling in for him today. As it turns out, the communion is a topic that I've been thinking about off and on for a couple of 3 years. And so I'm happy to have this opportunity today to share some of the thoughts and things, reflections that I've had concerning the communion. This is a slide about a lookout point in a tourist attraction called Rock City. If any of you ever have traveled in the southeast United States, you've seen lots of advertisements to Rock City. And this is a lookout point there in Rock City. And on a clear day, one is supposed to be able to, by looking in all directions, see 7 different states. And so as I've thought about the Lord's Supper, I've come to view the Lord's Supper as a type of viewpoint, a lookout point for us as Christians. So if I wanted to give my sermon a title today, I would call it Looking in 5 Directions from the Lord's Supper. The first direction is a familiar one. It's looking back. The familiar words on this slide are essentially words that we find in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, in Paul's account of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11. These are the words of Jesus when he instituted the Last Supper, when he instituted the Lord's Supper at the Last Supper. And these words, which are Jesus' own words, point to an extremely strong connection between the bread and his body and the cup and his blood shed for us. So these tie us in a special way. They connect us in a special way with God, with these emblems, with Jesus' body and with Jesus' blood. After my father-in-law died, my mother-in-law made it a point, she wanted every anniversary of his death to go out to the cemetery and lay a wreath on his grave. And my wife Janie was a very good daughter in that she would always get her a wreath and go with her out to drive her out to the cemetery. But she did this as a way of honoring her husband, as a way of remembering him and the love that they had shared over the years, because that was very important to her, and of preserving his memory. It was Jesus' last wish that we would, in the supper, remember him. And the church has always treasured and observed this simple ceremony that nourishes our faith, that renews our hope, and that keeps Jesus' sacrifice before our eyes. I like the way that Isaac Watts beautifully preserves and presents this sentiment in his familiar hymn. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? But not only do we look backward, but secondly, we look upwards. We look up to Jesus, to where God has raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. We don't, as in this memorial, serve a dead hero. We serve a living, victorious Lord, who is our host as we gather around the table. And we have the honor of gathering week by week and sitting around the table with him. Jesus promised in Matthew 18:20 that wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, he would be there in the midst of them. That original promise had to do with the context of people meeting together to pray together. But how much more is Jesus going to be among those who gather in his name to keep his supper, the supper that he's commanded and which he initiated? And so we have not only looking back to Jesus and his death, but we have the opportunity to encounter a living Lord as we come together to remember his supper. In his letter to the church in Revelation 3, to the church at Laodicea, Jesus informed the Christians there that he stood at the door and knocked. And if any would come to the door and open it and invite him in, he would come in and eat with them. Again, this was not in the context directly of the communion, but it seems appropriate to connect it with the communion when in our communing together with Christ as we gather around the table. I think one of the verses in the song that we just sung, Come Share the Lord, captures these ideas beautifully of Jesus coming together with us to share this time around the Lord's Supper. One of the verses goes, he joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread. Come drink the wine. Come share the Lord. And it goes on to say, we are now a family of which the Lord is head. Though unseen, he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. The third direction we look is that we look backward, we look upwards to Jesus, but we're also asked to look inward as we gather at the table. Paul tells us to examine ourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. Perhaps this is something that we're guilty of ignoring or not taking as seriously as we should. Are we coming to the communion table with a Christ-like spirit, with a spirit of humility and confession and forgiveness for others and concern? Are we fully trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross and submitting our lives to his lordship? In the story in Acts 8 of Philip going up into the chariot and teaching the gospel to the Ethiopian official, after he has finished teaching him, they're in the chariot and they come to water. And the official asks Philip, he says, here is water, why can't I be baptized? And Philip's response to him is, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the Ethiopian responds, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Paul elaborates on this confession in the 10th chapter of Romans when he says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and with the mouth you confess and are saved. It's my opinion that these conditions, the conditions that are mentioned here that are appropriate for baptism, help us perhaps in answering the question, What conditions are appropriate for taking communion? And who should be those who take communion? And I suggest, my personal opinion this morning, that one participating in communion should come as a baptized believer and should come to the table as one who accepts and submits to Jesus as Lord and Savior. The phrase, "forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us," taken from the Lord's Prayer, is also something that I think is appropriate for as we examine ourselves coming to the Lord's table. We can reflect on the past week, on our sins and failures, on the things that we've done that we shouldn't have done, on the things that we should have done that we haven't done. And we can turn to God for cleansing and forgiveness so that we come forgiven to the table and we can seek in turn to show a forgiving spirit to those around us. We turn inward as we come to the table. But fourthly, as we come to the table, we are encouraged to look around us. We look back, we look up, we look inward, and we look around us. At the table, we proclaim to the world and to one another our unity in Christ. Our unity is based on a common Savior, a common faith, a common meal that we share together, the Lord's Supper, and our common membership in Christ's body. Indeed, the word fellowship or communion comes from the Greek word koinonia. And koinonia means that which we have in common. It means people having things in common. And it's this great commonality of these things that I just mentioned that bring us together, that draw us together, that hold us together, that are the foundation of our fellowship. This unity that we share is God's creation. And He is the one who makes us one. Because it is God's creation, we are called to preserve it and to strengthen it. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "Make every effort to hold in the bond of peace the unity which the Spirit gives us." This effort may sometimes include some challenges. We may come to the assembly. We may remember someone with whom we have a problem or someone who has a problem with us. And we may feel the need to try to go and make that right or at least make it better. The communion is connected with looking around us. In the Corinthian passages about the Lord's Supper, Paul warns that we may bring judgment on ourselves when we fail to discern or to recognize the body of Christ. The body of Christ here includes the body in two senses. It includes the body of Christ on the cross, and it includes the body of Christ, His people. And Paul mentions in this passage two specific ways in which we can fail to discern or to recognize the body of Christ. First of all, we can treat the Lord's Supper lightly or forget its purpose, as some of the Corinthians did when they just made the Lord's Supper into a feast where they were just more concerned about eating and drinking than they were in participating in the remembrance of Jesus. Or when they lived divided lifestyles and they would come Sunday and share the Lord's Supper and worship Him, but maybe Monday they would go to the temple and worship with the idol. And so they dishonored the Lord's Supper by a divided lifestyle. But secondly, Paul says that we can fail to remember the body when we fail to treat with love, with respect, with thoughtfulness, our fellow members, the people that we meet to worship with, our body and our family in Christ, with whom we share this meal. This looking around us this call for unity is again well expressed, I think, in the song that we sing, Come Share the Lord. And it's one of my favorite communion songs because I think it captures so many aspects of the communion so well, and it, including this call to unity. No one is a stranger here. Every one of us belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. And it goes on to say, through the living Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. Well, the final way that I want to mention, and you could probably guess this one. Whoops. Is looking forward. In the communion and the Lord's Supper, we look forward. I like to think, and I'm amazed sometimes, that the observance of the Lord's Supper constitutes a long, long string of Sundays. If we go back Sunday by Sunday by Sunday and keep following the trail back, we'll come all the way back to the death and burial of Jesus' resurrection itself. And the Lord's Supper, the observance of it, is going to stretch forward. And week by week, the church will continue to witness to and to proclaim the Lord's death. And that will continue week by week in a chain that stretches all the way to Jesus' second coming. The celebration of the Lord's Supper, the communion of us as saints together, is a weekly observance that stretches all the way from the first coming all the way to Jesus' second coming. And when Jesus comes again, we will no longer see as a pale reflection in a dim mirror, but we will see then face to face. We as Christians all have invitations to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And it will be joy unimaginable to come together, to sit at that table with Jesus and all the other believers through all the centuries. What an occasion. One final verse from Come Share the Lord. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of the Lord and the coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread. Come drink the wine. Come share the Lord. And now I'm done with the five looks. What's the take home? Well, I'll be happy if some of you go away thinking the Lord's Supper is a blessing from the Lord Jesus. It's important to me and for me. It's important for all of us as a congregation. It's important to Jesus. And I need to be there every Sunday that I can to participate. And maybe even if I ask you next week, can you name the five ways of looking from the Lord's Supper? Maybe you could remember even two or three of them. Let's stand together. We'll have a time of singing and prayer. The elders, staff will be around to pray with you if you'd like to. And we'll have this time together.